John Allen Muhammad and John Lee Malvo have become suspects now in slayings in a total of 5 states and the District of Columbia. The pair was arrested just over a week ago after a 3-week shooting spree in the Washington area. A major factor in the success of the investigation was communication. Montgomery County, Maryland, Police Chief Charles Moose earned a reputation as a master of the daily press briefing. But there was also a private side to the investigation, shaped behind the scenes. NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
Between the evening of October 2nd and noon the next day, 5 people were gunned down in the normally safe suburban enclave of Montgomery County, Maryland, a place where people moved to escape such violence. Montgomery County Police Chief Charles Moose, who was to become the very familiar public face of the investigation, made his first appearance before cameras and microphones after the 5 deaths in his community.
Nothing like this has ever happened in Montgomery County. Our homicide rate just increased by 25% in one day.
While Moose was on the front line, going on TV to assure anxious Washington area residents, behind the scenes, police were scrambling to begin an investigation. They rented office space across the street from Montgomery County Police Headquarters in Rockville. They quickly sought out the help of the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who threw hundreds of agents into the case. They established a tip line. Though it seemed ad hoc from the outside, Montgomery County Executive Douglas Duncan says those inside I did have a plan.
We looked at models, you know, and really the only model that we thought could come close to this was, I think it was called the Texas 7 case, where people escaped from prison, went on a killing spree, where you had a lot of different agencies working together to track them down and to capture them.
The intensity of the murder spree in a normally quiet suburb, the randomness of the shootings, their proximity to the nation's capital, all worked to generate an enormous amount of interest in the case. Moose spent a lot of time before cameras in those first days. The briefings were spontaneous, and one thing he said that first day would come back to haunt investigators.
Our schools are safe. Our children are safe at this point. So please, if the media, if you can help me, get that message out.
Despite the interest in the story, driven in part by the demands of the 24-hour news channels, which had quickly set up camp in Rockville, County Executive Duncan said officials soon realized such frequent briefings were counterproductive.
We had a lot of briefings, and then we pulled back because we realized that people were sort of waiting for the next briefing and that we were contributing to perhaps anxiety levels as opposed to relieving anxiety levels. So we said, you know, we need to cut these back, and we very quickly went to 1 a day.
The task force, meanwhile, was settling into a kind of routine. Investigators worked in shifts. Faced with a lack of clues, they turned to profilers to develop leads. Geographic profilers, they suggested the suspects lived in the so-called red zone, the area in Montgomery County where the first 5 killings occurred. Other profilers began scripting what Moose would say in public. This had more success. Montgomery County State's Attorney Douglas Gansler says specialists in communications from the FBI and ATF were brought in to draft Moose's statements.
Those messages were very carefully crafted, as you've said, and they were done so through conversations and great dialogue with federal agents and all the agencies involved in the case, people who had a lot of experience dealing with this type of communication.
As well as working out what Moose would say, County Executive Duncan says, officials also gave the chief guidance about words he should avoid.
We had a situation where certain names were being used for the shooters, and it was felt that that was not, that Governor Maryland called the person a coward, President Bush called a cowardly act, and other people said things. And the feeling from the profiles was, we don't want to incite anyone, we don't want to engage in that kind of behavior, it's better not to do that.
Monday, October 7th, brought a chilling new element to the story. That morning, as if to rebuke Chief Moose's assertion that children were safe, the sniper shot a 13-year-old boy in front of his Bowie, Maryland school.
Today, it went down to the children. Now, all of our victims have been innocent, have been defenseless, but now we're stepping over the line because our children don't deserve this.
Police searched a wooded area near the school, and that night, a Washington, D.C. TV station reported the killer had left behind a message. Like a pulp detective novel, it was written on a tarot card, the death card. "Mr. Policeman," it said, "I am God." It was a major development, the first time the snipers tried to communicate with police, and Chief Moose was furious that it had been leaked to reporters.
I beg of the media, let us do our job. If the community wants you to do it, they will call today and we will have a vote. And if it's decided that Channel 9 is going to investigate this case, then so be it.
It turns out the chief was not as angry with reporters as he was with police in neighboring Prince George's County where the shooting occurred. Moose believed Prince George's police were responsible for the tarot card leak and in so doing had disobeyed a command from the sniper, state's attorney Gansler.
It was a direct reference in the message that this information was not supposed to go to the press. So the concern was, and as Chief Moose knew at the time, was that the public was being put at risk unnecessarily because of this leak, and he was very, very upset about it, as he had good cause to be.
That was one of the few incidents of friction between the numerous law enforcement agencies involved in the task force. Despite its size, investigators say for the most part the joint task force ran smoothly, even seamlessly, state's attorney Gansler.
At one point, somebody said, I believe it was Chief Moose, that this is being run by a committee. And of course, that's got negative connotations in the Washington area. But it really was being run by a committee, and it was being run effectively by a committee because there were not egos and a bureaucracy involved. There were people that genuinely wanted to solve this case.
That said, there were what Gansler called bumps. After doctors removed a bullet fragment from the 13-year-old boy who was seriously wounded, they found police officers from both Montgomery and Prince George's counties waiting to take possession of it. After some phone calls, the doctor gave the fragment to an ATF agent. In the second week of the Washington area shootings, communications from the sniper picked up. One of the suspects called Rockville police and left this message in a tape provided by ABC News.
Where are the people that are causing the killing in your area? Look on the tarot card. It says, call me God. Do not release the press. We have called you 3 times before, trying to set up negotiations. We've gotten no response. People have died.
Yes, sir. Get your people. Montgomery County Police Hotline. We're not investigating the crime. Would you like the number?
Calls were also made to a separate tip line and to priests in Virginia and Washington State. They suggested investigators look into a crime in Montgomery, later determined to mean Montgomery, Alabama. Then police found a note pinned to a tree behind the scene of a shooting in Ashland, Virginia, October 19th. It asked for $10 million. Chief Moose went before cameras the next day, speaking directly to the shooters.
We remain open and ready to talk to you about the options you have mentioned. It is important that we do this without anyone else getting hurt.
The morning of October 21st, the Monday after the Ashland shooting, there appeared to be a major break in the case. In a drama played out on the cable news channels, police swooped in on a white minivan parked near a payphone in Richmond, Virginia. Police arrested 2 men, but while the Richmond operation was played out before cameras, behind the scenes, law enforcement officials knew it was a sideshow. State's attorney Gansler.
The law enforcement investigators knew within certainly a very, very short period of time that these were indeed not the people responsible. The media went for the whole day building these people up. The public got their hopes up. And then, of course, that night after the media builds it up all day, the media comes out and says it's a major disappointment.
But as investigators condemned the news media, they also concede they were essential in breaking the case. Police finally caught up with Muhammad and Malvo early Thursday morning, October 24th, thanks to a tip. A trucker spotted a Chevy Caprice with New Jersey tags after Chief Moose had put out a lookout for such a car in a midnight briefing. Ironically, it was information the police had initially asked reporters not to reveal. The behind-the-scenes and public faces of the investigation had finally come together. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.